I have something I want to talk to you about this morning, and it may, this just may not hit everybody right in the forehead, but for some reason I feel like that there's some of us in this room today who may need these words of encouragement. And it's along the line of, in the category of, the fascinating choices of God. The fascinating choices of God. Why Mary? Why Joseph? Why you? Or why me? I want you to find your way, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month of the year, that calendar year, the Jewish calendar year, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Stop. Gabriel is one of two named archangels among the highest ranking commanders of the angelic hosts, as they're referred to, the angelic armies in heaven. It is also said that he, when he introduces himself to Zacharias, whom he appears to also to announce the birth of John the Baptist, who would be born to a woman, Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, way beyond the normal childbearing years. Zacharias was too old to have a child. Elizabeth was too old to have a baby. But Zacharias is confronted as a priest in the temple on his day to be offering sacrifices before the Lord. He's confronted by this angel who introduces himself. I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Gabriel came to announce the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner who would come in the spirit and power of Elijah, to precede the coming of the ministry of the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. He was sent to Zacharias and Elizabeth, but sometime after that, he was also sent from the presence of God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a specific young girl whose name was Mary, who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Why would he be sent? He stands in the presence of God. So evidently there had been some conversation in heaven about Mary and about Joseph. Gabriel didn't come and to announce to Mary, you have won based upon the tally of our recent national total. You are now the American Idol. You have won the Voice. She hadn't won nothing. She was known, very likely, to no one beyond a real tight-knit circle of her family and friends. In this obscure Middle Eastern Wild West town, so to speak, called Nazareth. Nazareth was not known for its religiosity. It was not known for its class. It wasn't known for its education. It wasn't known for its cathedrals or its in that day, it would have been just any structure that would have been dedicated to the worship of Judaism. It wasn't known for any of that. It was thought of as being somewhere kind of on the outskirts of civilization and just the Badlands. It was a trade route. It was like a Wild West town. Gabriel wasn't sent to the daughter of anybody important. Gabriel wasn't sent to some spectacularly beautiful, gorgeous descendant of Eve, who because of her beauty, she's renowned, or because of her intelligence, she's well known. From a practical standpoint, Gabriel was dispatched from God, from the highest heaven, from the throne in heaven, to a specific spot in an obscure, dirty, Wild West, Middle Eastern town or city, to one probably teenage, maybe 14, 15, 16, maybe 17 years old, maybe on the high end. Teenager. Can I say that just one more time? In heaven, in the highest heaven, conversation had been had and a decision had been reached that an archangel who stands in the presence of God, that's what he does for a living. That's where he stands, right next to the Lord of all creation. And the Lord of all creation says to him in so many words, you go to Nazareth, you go to Mary, and you tell her what our plan for her is. The fascinating choices of God. You can say, but God, couldn't you have picked somebody a little more rock starish? Couldn't you have incorporated the wow factor into your choice? So how come Mary, the teenage peasant girl, was picked? Let's read down through a little more of this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent. He didn't just decide he'd visit Nazareth. He was sent, and the Greek verb is very, very specific. Sent with a task, sent with for a specific purpose. Like an arrow being driven by the velocity behind it into a target. He was sent to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. To a virgin. That means she had never slept with a boy. She had never slept with a man. She was sexually pure. Sent to a virgin, and it's interesting that the scripture would specifically describe her in that fashion. One characteristic of her physical makeup was that she had never had sex. You say, well, what kind of big deal is that? Well, I don't know, not much of a big deal in this culture, but it was a big deal in heaven. Period. Merry Christmas. Engaged to a man, a virgin engaged to a man. She was a virgin while engaged to a man. How mutually exclusive do those terms seem to be today? But she was. To a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Joseph, who was of the descendants of David. That had been said that the Messiah, it had been prophesied that the Messiah would come through the descendants of David. But that would almost be like you meeting somebody who would say, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was Abraham Lincoln. You would want to say, well, and? To the watching world, to the classmates of Joseph, who was probably a little older than Mary, but very likely a teenager himself, to his classmates, to his colleagues, they might not have even known that he was kin to David, King David, from centuries before. But heaven knew what was in his lineage. And heaven plans to connect all the dots. Heaven plans to show how one thing will lead to another and how there is not random motion, but there is a plan. Even when you and I may not understand what specific speck in the continuum we hold and how important that is to the next speck that we're connected to, it doesn't matter necessarily that we get the big picture. He has the big picture. Yeah. Now, this is real important. Mary might never have even been known to us all these centuries later as the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus, if she had not been engaged to a man named Joseph, who was of the descendants of David. Because it was vitally important that the Messiah come through the descendants of David. She wasn't a descendant necessarily of David, but Joseph was. Her connection... Now, I realize I just, you know, they're liable to be some butcher the preacher for lunch after this, but I'm sort of used to it, sort of used to it. Her claim to fame, in a sense, derived from a choice that she had made, a decision that she had made, to enter into a betrothal or an engagement with this man named Joseph, who was of the lineage of David. Heaven noticed the choice that she made as to who she would enter into that kind of a relationship with. Heaven noticed that she was mindful, that she was not knowingly getting engaged to a jerk. Merry Christmas again to you. We may think that some of those kinds of decisions are not noticed, no big deal. It's just this, it's just that. So how come Mary got picked? She got picked because she was connected to Joseph. How did she get connected to Joseph? What was it about Joseph that attracted her to him and him to her? Find, if you would, the book of Matthew. Hold your place in Luke. Find Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that means sexually, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. In those days, an engagement was a lower level marriage. In order to get out of an engagement, there had to be a divorce settlement or divorce decree. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets centuries before. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his dream and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. The engagement now became a full-blown marriage, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. A virgin being kept a virgin giving birth. It's amazing how those kinds of personal details, though they are secret, quiet, in the dark, so to speak, but the choices that lead to the perpetuation of that kind of life, the secret on the inside of a young woman and a young man to make decisions like that, not necessarily, nobody else could find out what else went on, but the God who picked them, the God who would choose them for a never before even conceived of act and pursuit and intervention into the human race, the God who would pick them as key players in that drama, knew every single hidden, quiet, secret choice. What I'm saying to you is, the secret places of right choices count. The secret places of the no, where the no is the right answer, the yes is the right answer, nobody else may applaud you. Others may think you're crazy, etc. But heaven, whom you can't shut out, there's no dark so dark that he can't be the light in the middle of it. There's no wall so thick that you can keep his penetrating gaze out. He sees. Now the main thrust of this is not for that to be condemning, it's to be encouraging. I'm looking into the faces of a bunch of folks today who may be right now or in the middle of making some choices, some decisions on the inside that may have to do with your professional career or relations with other people significant to you or important to you. But you feel like the Lord is leading you on a course. He's giving you a sense of direction. And some of the things that if you were able to get out with everything that's working in your heart, they would laugh at you. They'd walk away from you. But heaven sees and hears and listen, is blessed by what you right now are choosing to walk out. Now go back to Luke again. Luke chapter 2. Verse 28. Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 28. And coming in, he, Gabriel the angel, said to her, "Greetings, favored one. the Lord is with you. Now understand, she has not won the voice. She is not the final edition of the American Idol. So on the basis of what does this crazy angel make this unbelievable statement to a nobody? Buried in her bedroom, if she even had one, in an obscure village, an obscure place, in the middle of nowhere, Nazareth, favored one. Hey, you, favored of the Lord. The Lord is with you. Heaven says, and I'm repeating, I'm parroting what the God of all creation says about you. The Lord is with you. Now, nobody else may have been with her. And Joseph, the love of her life, is about to think seriously about checking out on the situation. But the Lord is with you. Folks, listen. When you have an inkling of a hint in your soul that the Lord is with you, you can face down the stairs of hell. You can continue your journey, though the armies arrayed against you are innumerable. And the amazing thing about this is, the Lord and all of his resources, the Lord and all of his armies can be with you, but it looked like you are all by your lonesome self. What the visible world says about you and thinks about you or doesn't think about you is not the same as what your Father in glory knows about his daughter, knows about his child. Why Mary? Why Joseph? There was something about who they were in the secret place. There was something about who they were to their God that would be different than, in a sense, who they would be thought highly of and liked by those around them. Now, I don't believe that they were disliked or they were just weird. Just two weirdos attracting to each other and they just have this weird little relationship and the whole world can just go jump off a cliff. It wasn't about that. When Mary found out through the angel that a relative of hers named Elizabeth way past having babies, nursing home time for Elizabeth, that she's now 6 months into her pregnancy. And it says that she stopped quickly when the angel left and she took off, stayed 3 months with Elizabeth. She wasn't an isolationist. She was who she was. And she was whom God picked. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. That was the next statement. Verse 29, she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation or greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, you know, she may have not even been looking necessarily to find favor of this magnitude. That she would be picked out of all of the women in the human race to become the earthly mother of the Messiah. But some way or another, in the life she was living, in the choices she was making, in choosing Joseph As opposed to other choices that could have come her way, she was evidently desirable. He desired her. He was evidently desirable. She desired him. They became a pair. They became an item. They fell in love. They're engaged. And then here comes this angel visit. Now, let me just tell you one more thing about the Lord. Now, I don't want anybody to throw a great big old fat purse up here at me. I don't want you to just wind up and just launch it. I'm ducking. The Lord may not necessarily be as concerned about how easy it is for you as he is concerned that his plan for you be fulfilled. Okay, now get this. This section of Scripture had never been written before. Mary couldn't go back and say, "Now look, I need mom, as I tell you that I'm, and I described to you that I've got this bump happening right here, mom. And I want to take you back to Luke chapter 1. There was no Luke chapter 1. As she would try to convince Joseph that she hadn't been with anybody else, but she's pregnant. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord is baffling sometimes in the way that he does stuff. You think about it. Think about what Mary was being called to step into. The big scarlet letter across her chest and on her. And she has to tell others who she trusted and wanted to believe, and Joseph being a big one, and her daddy being another big one, and her mama being another big one, she is left alone. Gabriel's not standing there when she meets Joseph. And says, "I'm pregnant, but it's by God, Joseph." He goes, "Oh yeah, give me a break." And so it says, so seriously was he considering divorcing her, ending the engagement, but he did not want to shame her, so his plan, he had already drawn up the plans, how I can divorce her secretly. Have her moved off to Caesarea or moved to relatives in Jerusalem until she has the baby. His heart devastated, his trust factor crushed. God, who picked her and picked him, planned it that way. You say, "I'll follow God just as long as he doesn't humiliate me. I'm all yours, God. Just make everything make sense to me. Have your way with me, God, but boy, don't ever do that to me." Well, for whatever reason, when the Lord picked Mary and Joseph, the Lord understood that by his Spirit in them, they would be graced enough to walk it out. And the Lord knew that when the time came for Joseph to have to deal with, "What do I do with this betrayer who I thought I was going to marry? What do I do?" Then he goes to sleep and he has a dream, and maybe it was Gabriel, shows up to him and gives him firsthand information from heaven's heart. It's true, Joseph. That's God's baby inside her womb. Here's his name. His name is Jesus, and his name is going to be Jesus because his destiny is to redeem, to ransom, to rescue the entire human race. Are you ready for that, Joseph? It's 12:04. I'm watching the clock so you don't have to. And I know there's some things we need to get on down the road to do. But I pray you'll hear this in blazing letters and bold capital. God sees and hears your secret choices. And when those choices are made in the direction that honors Him, He is delighted. He is honored. And as He sees the things in secret done that line up with His heart, then watch how He is able to bring you out and into a spotlight someday, some way. Everybody who has any sense of biblical back, New Testament background, and the tradition of Christianity, everybody would know the name Mary. Why? Because God chose her. Choosing her as a part based in what He knew the kind of person was that she would be. I don't believe she was brain dead. I think she was a thinker. Even when Gabriel, the second most powerful angel in all the universe, is standing there talking to her, she's still thinking, how can this be since I've never been with a man? And then it settles in on her. The angel leaves, and she moves into what is called the Magnificat of Mary, the song that she sings or she speaks to in Elizabeth's hearing. And I mean, there's scripture in it. There's history in it. There's truth in it. There's rejoicing in it. She was no dummy. She was no brain dead religious fanatic. She was a thinker. She had spent time in the Word of God. She had absorbed the things of God into her life, even as a teenager. Not perfect, but she was a good one. Joseph, not perfect, but it says he was given that term. He was a righteous man. He sought to live his life right before God and before his fellow man. Chosen. The peculiar. Perplexing even. But wonderfully encouraging. Choices of God. We don't know who Mary's daddy was. We don't know her grade point average in school. You know. But what we know is when the time was right, God sent His angel to say, Mary, you have found favor with heaven. And there's a plan. Folks, wait on it. Wait on it, young ones. Don't sell your soul to a jerk. Wait on it. You say, well, my life was a whole season of my life that was trash. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about, adult. If we then are in Christ Jesus, every one of us, male or female, in Christ Jesus, have become a new creation. The old things passed away. New things have come. But don't make the foolish mistake of thinking that the repeating of bad behavior is finally going to give you a good result. Jettison the bad junk. Start choosing right now what is right in the sight of the Lord. And give Him a chance to honor those choices. He's good at that. And the angel said, wrapping up his message, I know you're a virgin, but the Holy Spirit is going to overpower you. Your relative Elizabeth is 6 months into her pregnancy, and you know how old she is. Here's the bottom line, Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Amen, church. Nothing. Say that with me. Just say that. Nothing is impossible with God. Everything eventually is impossible with people and lateral sources and supplies. But nothing is impossible with God. So who is it the most important that I please, that I find the favor of, this way or this way? This way will fail you. This way will desert you. This way will abandon you eventually, but this one never fails. In his time, nothing is impossible with God. Let's stand together if we could, please, as we let you go. Prayer partners, if you're here, and I know we're scattered around the world on this weekend, but those of you who are prayer partners in the service, if you'll come forward and if we can pray with you, just maybe you need something to just unload. So holidays can be very difficult, and it can seem like the impossibilities just get worse and seem to have lasted forever. And how can we make it through? The grace of the Lord is sufficient. He may not change everything today, and he may not fix all the knuckleheads that bruise you and hurt you at this time of the year. He may not change them, but he can heal your broken heart. He can do something on the inside here that when they say what they say or do what they do, represent what they represent, it doesn't have to get to me like it has gotten to me before. Because this Jesus, Mary's son, came to be the healer of broken hearts. If you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior and Lord, this is the best time to do it today, right now. Something inside you leapt as we were talking about these things, that there's nothing impossible with him, that he does notice the unseen, he does hear the inaudible, he knows the choices, he responds to those things, and you want him in your life. You want to know him as your personal Savior. Right where you stand or with someone here at the front, you can just pray, Lord Jesus, the best I can, I receive you. I don't even know what that's supposed to be, but I don't want you out there. If you want to be inside my chest, I open my heart up and I receive you. Then I'm going to tell you, they're all over this room examples of the difference that can make between Jesus being out there and Jesus being on the inside of here. Religion can paint the picture of him out there, but transformation is what happens on the inside here. Best Christmas ever. Best Christmas ever. Christ in me. Lord, wherever you need to take these words, I just ask you to please press them home. Would you help us to be able to remember and get that which is from your heart to us today, I pray. Thank you for safety through the rest of the holidays. Thank you one more time, Lord, for folks who love us, for kindness that comes at us from people who care about us. Thank you most of all that they are representative of your heart toward us. All of that comes from you, through them and the things around us, to us. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.